that's it. We're absolutely gutted at the end of that. But we only have ourselves to blame. We gifted Bournemouth a two-goal head start. We didn't do enough to win the game. We didn't test the Bournemouth goalkeeper enough. Virgil van Dijk with a really uncharacteristic error that led to Evan Nielsen scoring when he looked to leave the ball go out of play. Alex Scott didn't and played it back and Evan Nielsen scored. Then Kerkez on his return to Bournemouth was caught out as Jimenez got beyond him to score. Liverpool got back into it, Van Dijk's header before half-time. Then in the second late on, Szoboszlai, a brilliant free kick to score for Liverpool here. Arne Slot is furious with the referee at the end. Maybe because it was a big shout for a penalty on Engamoa, although me and Sammy Lee felt Rio was maybe too honest. Then both teams could have won it, Fiat's could have won it, but sloppy defending from a long throw. Adley with a late, late winner. Bournemouth 3, Liverpool 2.
Steve Hunter wrapping up Liverpool's 3-2 defeat by Bournemouth down at the Vitality Stadium. We will be getting the thoughts of Arne Slot and Wataru Endo here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis and I was joined in the studio by Neil Mellor and Sammy Lee while David James was down at the stadium for us. Plus, we've got contributions from our fan panel of Errol Smith, Molly Ann McCowan from over in the States and Craig McKelvey from the official Liverpool supporters club in Dubai. Sammy, I mean, we were sat here, me and Neil, feeling quite disappointed about a point in a way, and unfortunately it got worse, and Liverpool will feel that is an afternoon that they could have done so much better with, I think.
Very much so, Beck, and the two words that we used throughout comms was sloppy and frustration. You know, I think we got into a situation where we were dominant, but our final ball was so, so sloppy. And then we concede two awful goals. Awful goals. All goals can be prevented, but they were awful that we conceded. But we got ourselves back into the game. And then, instead of, you know, making sure that we were in control of the game, it suddenly became too open. Yeah. We'd attack, they'd attack. They'd attack, we'd attack. I said, on comms, come in like a basketball game. And honestly, Steve said, you know, do you think they got the last throw and said, do you think we can score from a counter-attack? I said, we've got to defend it first, Steve, because we've been struggling at throw-ins all season long. You know, people, you know, they do their homework on us as well. You know, every time the ball went into the area, there was chaos. Never got the first header on it, never got the first contact, second ball, and it culminated in that goal, which, and listen, Bournemouth would be over the moon. But, you know, everything was of our own making.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's the frustrating side, isn't it? Because conceding three goals, Neil, is always going to be a bad day at the office. But as Sammy says, it's the manner in which they were conceded, defensive mistakes today.
You know, it's still raw. We've been here before too often this season. Mm-hmm. It's not the first time. Palace, last minute, winning goal. Chelsea, Fulham, Leeds, Bournemouth. Too often. It's too often. These goals are going in late on and costing us points. We said before the game, we're not starting games well. So we started okay, but did we really test the goalkeeper? We've had one shot on target in 35 minutes. Mm. Now, we're playing against a very average Bournemouth team. Mm. Let's make no mistake about that. They're very average on a terrible run of form. They can't win. They've beaten Spurs, that's it. They've got a lot of decent players out injured. And to give a two-goal lead away, you're chasing the game. And Sammy, as Sammy says, we get back into it and you're thinking, can we go on and win it? And we're disappointed at 2-2. Let's be fair, we're disappointed with 2-2.
Yeah.
And as you say, it was open. They had chances before that. Evan Nielsen should have scored.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the end, I mean, we don't deal with a long throw. And it's even worse, the feeling now, because 2-2 would have felt bad. It feels even worse now.
But you know what, Beck and Niels, they're fighting for their lives, as are we. You know, we should be fighting every time it's good. And we seem surprised when they're pushing us in the back, when they're competing for everything. You know, Kerkez, sorry, he lost his duel. He lost his battle today, and we were talking pre-show about how he's improved. And that guy had him today, for whatever reason. Intimidating, pushing him in the back. And we lost them duels. And we seem surprised that these teams are going to compete against us and not give us an inch of space. We knew before the game, in the top four for intensity and runs against the ball. And yet we're taking... We didn't test the keeper, as you so rightly said. And I keep on saying, Beck, that we need to move the ball on quick. I don't mean rush, but also take less touches. We're up against these people because we're letting them get back into shape, and we found it difficult. We didn't test the keeper enough.
How many times were you watching the game and we're all saying, shoot?
Yeah, yeah.
Felt as though maybe we had that one touch too many,
well,
maybe
exactly
the wrong decision, that final ball. And we were wasteful in the final third against a team that gave us opportunities. And okay, they sat back at times in the second half when we were chasing the game. They got some decent blocks in. But we didn't have enough to beat a pretty average Bournemouth side there, and it feels really, really bad at the moment.
And Neil made an impact when he came on. He had an impact when he came on, I think. And I don't justify or advocate people going down, Bex, but
he
could have gone down. And he should have gone down, but you know, and we got punished for that. The referee should see that. There was one on the edge of the box. I think it was Ekotike as well, you know. And because we're trying to stay up, we're getting punished. I'm not advocating people dive. There's far too much of that.
No, but it's a conversation we've had a few times this season, and other players maybe being too honest, which, as Sammy says, you wouldn't want to see them being any other way, but sometimes there's a point where maybe you might want to give the ref a decision to make, if you like.
Yeah, and you can understand it with Rio, because what is he? He's 17, he's still young, he's still sort of learning the game, and it becomes with that experience, knowing when to go down and when not.
But the referee should see it as well. I mean, you haven't got to go down for it to be a foul. You know, I don't think so anyway, but again...
It almost feels like now you do, though, effectively, don't you?
Yeah, and sadly, that's where it's come round, because I say, you mentioned, give the referee a decision, but the referee should see that, otherwise it does lead to simulation, people diving, and we're not advocating that at all. But we had 2 points there, honestly, one on Rio, and one on Ekotike. He rode one, and then it should have been a foul side, and then he got tackled inside, which wasn't a foul. But he'd already stumbling, because the first one was a foul, first contact, outside the box. Yeah. Outside the box, look how dangerous we are.
Yeah, I think a big frustration as well is that, and we spoke before the game, and the first goal, Sam. Oh. The first goal, the importance of the first goal. You know, when Bournemouth scored, which was whenever it was, 25, 26 minutes, was that the first attack they had?
Yeah, first
time. It was against the run of play. Yeah. And we'd started the game well, and people say we started well. Well, we wasted chances, but we don't get the first goal. So they can settle into the game and try and get that first goal. For me, we were always chasing the game from that point. I don't know what happened with the sub, because we played with 10 men between goal one and goal two.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happened there. Yeah. So I felt as though that needed to be sort of explained. Is the player ready?
Gomez
is down for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Is the player ready? Why is that sub not being made? Because we're down to 10 men for 4 or 5 minutes between goal one and goal two.
Did someone say the ball never went out of play?
The
ball never went out to play, from what Steve mentioned to me. So that may be a point in case, you know. But again, I'm concerned about the injury, because I said on comms, I think before he had the collision, Joe looked to be, he appeared to be struggling, recovering his position, whether he's done something to his hip, his groin or whatever. And then it gets compounded by the fact he has the collision with the keeper and once again, he's off the pitch.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, we'll hear from Arne Slot post-match and get an assessment on that Joe Gomez situation. Just to go back to what you were saying about goals early on and some stats which kind of underline what you're saying. So, Liverpool scored fewer league goals, only 3 in the opening half hour of Premier League games this season than any other team. 36 points, 32 of those have come when they've scored the first goal in a game. I mean, that just underlines how vital it is.
And for me, the importance of getting that first goal, because Bournemouth were vulnerable today.
Yeah,
they're on a poor run of form, they're fragile with the confidence, they've got players missing. They were there for the taking, and that's what's frustrating. We haven't been beaten by a decent side there, and that's what's really frustrating
and
for me.
The crowd couldn't wait to get on the back. Every time we misplaced the pass, they couldn't wait to go on the back. Yeah, and so don't give them any encouragement. And as you said, we had to get the first goal, we had to get the second goal. Lo and behold, we then get back into the game at 2-2.
And that's the frustrating thing, because they've shown the character to come back.
Of course. And then, but then we took our grip off it, because we allowed it to become a basketball game. We allowed it to become... It must have been great for the neutral observer, but we're not. You know, because there's chances either end-to-end football. And as a coach, again... I may get slaughtered for this, but as a coach, you don't want that. I'll sound negative. You want to be in control. We've got the momentum was with us, but then we suddenly started going all over the place. We lost our discipline. You know, we were attacking. They were attacking. We were attacking. They were attacking.
Why does that happen? In that, you know, as you say, they didn't seem able to keep those cool heads. But is it almost the adrenaline of thinking that they're on for a winner? Salmon.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so, Beck. You know, but that's when your cool, calm leaders have to say, like, hold on, fine. And when we're on the attack, make sure we've got everybody in position. We can't be outnumbered and leave ourselves susceptible to the counter attack, which we do on too many occasions. Go back to the first game against Bournemouth at Anfield. You know, they had two goals from our attacking set pieces. So Manuel has left them, but he's got a great goal from their counter attack. You know, when you're on the attack, you've got to get organised and make sure everything is organised at the back. You're not outnumbered. You're not having 2v2s or 1v1s. Make sure that when we're on the attack, we don't leave ourselves open for counter.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of answered the question there, but with your coaches head on, obviously Arne Slot will pick over that over the next few days. Sam, where does he start? Because there's a lot to look at, especially in that second half.
Yeah, there is. And only first, and I go back, for me, you can lumber. I thought Vieta has been fantastic of late, and I even thought he had a great start. So lovely balls inside the fullback that went to more. We had four or five inside there for in the challenge, which put us on the attack. And then again, I put down back sloppy and frustration. I'm frustrated because we got sloppy.
Yeah.
Honestly, we should take less, when we've got dominance, take less touches, pass the ball with a bit more pace. And I repeat, Becky, I don't mean hurried, I mean pace, less touches, pace, pass and move. Because as you said, we had loads of possession in and around the area, but we never tested the keeper, Neil.
Yeah, a couple of late moments after 2-2 was when Vietz had the cross come shot, which the keeper saved. Remember that one?
Yeah,
was that creeping in? It may have been creeping in, went down as a goal kick.
We never even got a corner for that.
No.
It was an obvious save.
That was at 2-2. And also there was one chance later on when Vietz was in the box. And he almost looked like he wanted to pass the ball when he was there to shoot.
He
could have been the match winner. And again, that was at 2-2. I just felt like the decision making. And you've mentioned being sloppy and frustrating. I thought we were wasteful in the final third. We scored two goals from set pieces, but I thought we were wasteful in the final third.
Just hurts more as well after midweek, where you felt that was a real performance to build on, Sam, and a real opportunity to kind of get some momentum, which it sounds weird because even though they've been on such a run, there hadn't been an awful lot of momentum within that run, and it felt like today was a good opportunity is why it feels like an even bigger kick, I suppose.
And that's where the frustration comes in, to be perfectly honest, because we're looking to kick on, okay, because it was 13 games unbeaten, there's a lot of draws in that, but you think the fantastic performance, the positivity from Marseille, we think, come on, please kick on. And again, I don't want to disrespect Bournemouth in any way, shape or form. They were fighting for their lives. They had a lot of injuries, but we knew full well that they were going to be well organised, a great coach, so we knew that was going to happen. And we had them, and we had the momentum, and we let them off the hook. Because as you say, wasteful in the final third. It wasn't even the final third. It was like the edge of the box. We were passing, and we were slow with that. We were taking the extra touch, which allowed them to regain their shape and get bodies in and around the ball and between us and the goal. At times there were desperate blocks, but that's what a team in their position is going to do.
An air of a lot of frustration, I think, in the studio. Let's head to our fan panel and see if it is shared by them. Errol, you are first up. I imagine you're feeling just as dejected as we are here. You've got a smile on your face. Try and cheer us up if you can.
Yeah, well, I think one of Craig's friends has just reminded us that we're Premier League champions there in the background off screen. So that did bring a smile to our faces. But no, I have to agree with Sammy and Neil in the studio, to be honest with you, Becky, because I think it was an opportunity for us today to just kind of build on the momentum from midweek. It was a great opportunity for us to go to a side that is not in great form. They've got a lot of players injured, struggling at the moment. They've just lost one of their best and most promising talents to City in the January transfer window. So all the signs that you'd be looking for, pre-kickoff, we're all there pointing in Liverpool's direction that, Liverpool can get a 3 points under the belt and we'll be able to kick on. And I think, a lot of the things that have been kind of been our Achilles heel throughout the course of the season, or just reoccurring themes throughout the course of the season, just crept back in. Poor game management at times. I think, again, set pieces, those long throws into the box have caused us untold problems this season. But once again, the lads look a little bit panicked. We look a little bit frail mentally, if I'm able to say that in such a way. And I was just disappointed that the lads, when you get back to 2-2, at that point, I'm in the studio, I'm looking at the other lads around me, I'm thinking, do we just take the draw at this point? Because, we've not been great so far. We haven't really... Bournemouth haven't had to play you know, we've kind of gifted them a couple of opportunities, but let's just take the point and get out of Dodge. You know, we can go again next week against Newcastle, and unfortunately it just seems to be, you know, the way our season's been going. And I think the big thing is, I think Bournemouth owe us one. I think the reverse.
Errol, sorry to interrupt you. I get what you're saying about take the draw, but you don't need to take the draw, mate. We can still go for it as long as we keep disciplined and organised at the back. You know, because you find, quite often find, if you go for draws, you end up getting beat. You know, for we can still go for the win, but just keep it tight and organised at the back.
And I normally agree with you, Sammy, absolutely. But I think it's the PTSD of this season when we can see that the results aren't going our way. Sometimes it's like, you know what, it's better to be safe than to be sorry. And again, just kind of turn it into a bit of a basketball game and letting it go end to end. It just did. After we scored the sub, I was like, free kick, they nearly went up the other end of the pitch and scored. It was like there was no kind of mindset to say, do you know what, lads, let's just take the sting out of this game for the next 2 to 3 minutes and get our foot on the ball, and then let's see if we can go again. And, you know, that long minute between 80 odd to the 94th minute, that's still a long time in the game to try and manoeuvre something and to try and craft open an opportunity. But we're not boxing smart at the minute, Sammy, and I think that's
the term you used before, which is the right term, game management. At that point, we manage the game properly. You can still go and win it, but still keep it tight at the back. That's what game management is, you know. Because honestly, if you decide to settle for the draw, you end up going deeper and deeper and deeper and inviting them onto us. I think the biggest term you use, which is the correct term, is game management. And we still could have gone for the win, but just make sure we don't turn it into, as you said, and I said in comms, into a basketball game where we have a shot, they have a shot. That's game management, what you so rightly said. I totally agree with you there, Errol, yeah?
No, and I think that's it. And I think it's been a problem for us for a lot of the season. And I think Bournemouth, again, will be absolutely made up because they owed us one. You know, the game at Anfield earlier in the season was topsy-turvy. You know, they came back from 2-0 down, and then Liverpool go and get 2 last-minute goals. And the scoreline made it look better. But in reality, you know, that was at a moment in the season where we thought, oh, how many of those games are we going to have in us this season where we get out of free card? And yeah, we kind of ran out of our luck a little bit.
Errol, we'll come back to you in a bit, but I'm going to move on to Molly Ann. Molly, Errol was saying there he feels that a lot of the frustrations this season have kind of been encapsulated in that one game tonight. It was a pretty frustrating watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with, you know, what has been shared so far. At the end of the match felt like, okay, we've seen this before. And going down 2-0, you know, that first goal, my thought was, it is going to be about mentality now. Like we've talked about, when we concede, we have a really hard time staying in the game, fighting to get those points. And so not only to go down 1, but 2 so quickly, and then turn back around and level it, it felt really hopeful. And then, you know, the end to there give up the final goal just felt really defeating. The word I shared with some friends was just brutal. Like I didn't have another way to describe it. And after such a strong run of unbeaten matches, such a promising showing at Marseille and Champions League, I never walked into this game thinking this was going to be the final result. It really felt like this was going to be the one that was going to end the streak of draws in a positive way and not in the streak of draws in a negative way.
Yeah, Craig, I'll come to yourself. It just feels especially frustrating because in that first half, it almost felt like you could feel like the game was within Liverpool's grasp. It was kind of there to be got at. And obviously those two goals, the soft goals early on, then that really sets you on the back foot. And especially because you know that Bournemouth are going to then sit back and you're going to face maybe more of a low block that they've struggled with quite a few times this season.
Yeah. Sammy talking there about testing the keeper. I think there's a lot of time that the bar in lads and here, family that we've got here, just saying, look, you know, just shoot. Too many touches, and just maybe not that discipline towards the end of it. It's a shame as well for Joe Gomez. But we started really well. I think that was one of the great things, that the really positive thing there, that we started well. But yeah, we just didn't take those chances.
Mels, what were your thoughts on the start? Because we were watching and you said maybe it wasn't quite as fluid as you wanted it to be at times. But
people say good start, and a lot of people say that, but define a good start, because for me a good start is scoring a goal. because we had good territory, we had good positions, but the final ball wasn't there. Salah was in. Why is he not taking the shot? He's squaring the ball to Gakpo. So as much as we were the better team, I agree that we were the better team at the start. But a good start is to score. And you said that stat before. Two goals we've scored in however many Premier League goals we've played, games we've played 22 games, in the first 28 minutes we've scored two goals in every Premier League game.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
No.
So Bournemouth were nowhere near the start. We were the better team. But a good start for me is scoring when you're on top.
It's a very good point. Very good point.
And we had one shot. I don't think it was on target. Mm. So that's my frustration. And Craig's mentioned there, and I agree with that, about the goalkeeper being tested. I kept saying to you, how many times, when are we going to have a shot on target? And the only one we had in the second half was Szoboszlai's free kick.
We used to have an extensive possession, aren't we, Sammy? It's kind of standard now every single game. But if you don't make the most of that, ultimately you run the risk of what's happened.
Very much so. And you think, back in the Barcelona days, possession won your games. I think it's proof now that possession doesn't win your games in the modern day game, for whatever reason. And I agree totally what Neil's saying. And Craig was right. You know, we had a good start. We all said we put the ball in the channel for us to run onto. Mo, I don't know why he didn't take at least a touch to go and commit the defender. And for me, he tried to play it too early, but that's up for him to decide. But I agree totally with you. A good start is when it's being dominant. Make sure with our dominance we score goals, because you know we haven't done that enough in the first half of many games, as you said, two is it, and whatever it is, and that's not enough. No. And lo and behold, we then go and concede, and we haven't done well when we conceded goals first.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit, I suppose what they have done in recent games is be more defensively sound, Mels, and obviously today that's kind of fallen apart a little bit.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because at times in this run, we've had some good clean sheets in there.
You
think about the defensive performance at Inter Milan, Arsenal, Marseille. Good defensive displays. Keepers had to make the odd save. But it wasn't the same sort of defensive display tonight. And maybe the disruption of Joe Gomez being injured might have just disrupted the back four a little bit. Obviously, no Konate. He's been missing for a couple of games. We presume he'll be back soon. With the window open, you look at Endo being the centre-half. He's not a centre-half, he's a defensive midfield player. So there's a lot of games left to play. There's a lot left to fight for this season. You've got some big games around the corner. Champions League game, not guaranteed top eight. Still got job work to do there. We've got Man City coming up, Newcastle coming up, Sunderland away. So there's some big tests coming round. So if Gomez is out for a little bit of time, I'm not sure when Konate is back. We do look a little bit light in that area.
Yeah, obviously, Abu, you would hope we'll be back in the forthcoming week or so, Sammy, but time will tell on that, of course.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, it's just Virgil as a senior, recognised centre-half.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no game book for that, you know, for people who have had, you know, sadly, people pass away in the family. But I think the biggest thing for me, as I say to you, in dominance, you know, we haven't put them to bed. And that was really concerning for me because, as I said to you, I was looking, the positives were so many from Marseille, so many, and I just, you know, once again, I just have to use the word frustration. And this wasn't a great Bournemouth side, you know, a lot of that came from our own mistakes, our own sloppy play, which gave them the impetus when they didn't need to have or deserve the impetus. It was us, it wasn't their great game plan that beat us tonight, it was our sloppiness, and everything went wrong today was about us. You know, it wasn't their great play. I don't believe so anyway. I feel it was just, you know, our taking too many touches, sloppy passing, poor game plan, as the guys were saying before, and then final ball, and no shots on goal, and a few shots on goal. It all leads for a very, very frustrating evening, and one that could have been and should have been a lot better.
Yeah, like their own worst enemy at times, weren't they?
We start looking at excuses, don't we, because we've been beaten, and you start thinking, well, why has that happened? I said before the game about the time. I don't think the Premier League help teams in the Champions League.
It doesn't help playing midweek and then.
Well, less than 72 hours to prepare and recover from a big Champions League away game. This game should have been Sunday. Now we're looking at excuse. We've been beaten, so people will say, "Well, that's an excuse." I just don't think the Premier League help English teams in Europe away from home, because for me, you should have at least 72 hours if you played an away game in Europe. We played Marseille, tough away game. This was under 72. So. Now it looks like we're making excuses. We only made one change to the starting lineup. Cody Gakpo coming in. I thought Ekotike looked sharp when he came off the bench, trying to impact things like Rio Engamoa did.
I agree. All them things come into play. There's no doubt about that. But all we say to you, Neil and Beck, is that for me, they didn't dominate us. No. It was our sloppy play. Yeah. It was which frustrates me even more to your point, because as you so rightly say, we do tend to start looking at excuses. And you're right, we do need more time to could have been on Sunday, you know, whatever. But that's up to the powers that be to decide. But we weren't overpowered by them today.
Yeah.
It was our lack of discipline and our lack of game plan and our game management, not game plan, that's wrong, game management that gave them the impetus at times. Because as I say, when we got back to 2-2, go and get the winner. Okay, it'll maybe take the draw. We can still go and get the win, but just don't give them the opportunity to counter-attack us. And we did.
The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now. Save up to 70% on selected items, including LFC label fashion and souvenirs. Save 20% on selected Adidas, including 25-26 season home kit. And all Red members save an additional 10%. The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
Let's head back down to the South Coast. We're going to get some reaction from the Vitality. Mark Benstead is with David James.
Thank you, Becky. We've come down pitch side here at the Vitality now that the crowds have made their way out of the ground. David James is back with me. David, we can reflect on what we've seen. Dramatic ending to proceedings once again, not for the first time this season for Liverpool. I think we'll start with that winning goal for Bournemouth. A lot of protests from Virgil and Ali at the end of the game. I think they felt there was a foul in it. Looking back, I couldn't see anything worthy of disallowing the goal, but I thought it was interesting that Ali was so incensed. Was that just the emotion of losing a late goal?
I think when you look at the build-up for the goal, it all adds into that emotion you're talking about. I mean, Petrovic has done a long throw. The ball's ended up going out on just behind us there on the left-hand side. They've had a long throw, which has been half-cleared for the throw that led to the goal. So there was a moment at, you know, we're into the 95th minute, time's up, the referee's allowed the throw in, which I think is probably sensible, but then it's just a melee and the ball's going all over the place, no control, which allows for the goal to be scored. Yeah, the frustration of it being the last action of the game, and literally the kickoff and the whistle goes.
Difficult conditions to try and defend that kind of position, but what could we have done better? Is it not conceded in the first place? Because obviously we're limited in terms of personnel at centre-half as well. We've got a slight weakness perhaps from those positions generally. What do we do that we can do better?
Well, I described it to you. It was like a cup tie at the end there. That last 10-15 minutes, it was just end-to-end. The way that Petrovic got the ball for the opportunity to throw it, I mean, it was a high ball into the box under no challenge. And I think because of the tempo of the game, basically the team... we're looking at Petrovic to see what he's going to do, and it was 1v1 at the back, Gravenberg with I think it was Adley maybe who made the run to get the throw in. Once you do that, I mean, they were dangerous from throw-ins. We knew that because they've got that long throw capabilities. It's just, I don't know, I'd say the game had got to that point where it was like a cup tie, it was hectic, and that could have gone wide of the post. Could have been a goal kick and the game would have been over at 2-2, and I think we would have said that was a fair result in the end, but unfortunately not.
I think that's about the fifth time in the Premier League we've conceded a goal, so 95th minute onwards, the likes of Fulham, the likes of Palace here again today. What can you do as a group to eradicate that? It is the simplest way to have killed the games off so there isn't that frantic end to the match in the first place, or is that just too simplistic?
Yeah, I think that's where you talk about the personnel change. I mean, even in today's game, players have been out. I mean, Endo comes on. Injuries to players. Jobe Gomez, as we saw in the first half. I mean, all of a sudden, where you've had issues picking players, you've had players who haven't been playing regularly coming in, and that's where maybe the overall sort of picture of the game. It shouldn't really have got like a cup tie. You know, Liverpool had firm control of the game, I thought, and then all of a sudden it just went end to end. Anyone could have won it. Petrovic makes probably the save of the match. I know Ali made a top save.
And they didn't even give a corner for
it. That was 5 minutes before, 85th minute. That goes against you. Rio comes on. Should have gone down. Not that you encourage players to look for penalties, but it was a firm enough challenge for him to go down and get a penalty. Instead, he stays on his feet. Nothing happens with it. There's moments in the game which you think if it was slightly different.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because we had the one with Rio where he could have gone down. We had Moes getting his shirt hauled back on this touchline down here, no didn't go down, and they break from that. Hugo Ekitike had one where he tried to stay on his feet, didn't get anything. Yeah. Is the argument, well, you have to go down now to get those...
No, I'm not advocating that they have to, but there's moments where they could and it would be legitimate. I mean, Mo's, the official's got to pick up the shirt pull.
Well, it's a yellow card, wasn't it?
But he didn't fall on the floor. I mean, that's the thing. And if he'd have fallen on the floor for a shirt pull, then I would have said that I was looking for a free kick. Rio goes in, Ekitike goes in into situations where they could fall over and you admire them for not. But when you lose 3-2 with the last kick of the game, you think maybe that's a time that you should have fallen over and it could have ended up 3-2 to Liverpool. So you can't complain about people being honest, but there are times where you think that a little less honesty might be beneficial.
Just finally, we should probably sort of focus on the kind of defining moment of the game, really. It was that ever so slight error from Virgil, which leads to their first goal. When we had been so comfortable, you then lose a player through injury as well as a result of the aftermath of it. I just thought from a goalkeeper's point of view that the issue obviously with Ali, who's hit Joe, because they both tried to go for the ball. Is that just one of those things where two players doing what they have to do in that situation to try and defend their own goal line?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the unfortunate outcomes in situations like that. Ali did the right thing because he's not going to be looking at Joe coming and he's going to be looking at the ball. Joe's done the right thing going trying to block the ball. And possibly not looking at Ali. Interesting, I mean, even at 2-0, it didn't look great for Liverpool. As soon as they scored the goal, I was thinking about the Iraola, what he'd be saying at half-time, because the fact that Liverpool scored so late in that first half meant that Liverpool had a chance of getting back into the game. Dom scores a fantastic free kick, and then you think that the only team that could win this is Liverpool, because they had the control, they had the opportunities around the box, not necessarily that many shots on target until Petrovic makes that wonderful save, which he doesn't get rewarded for, or Liverpool don't get rewarded for. Then he turns into a cup tie, and the momentum or the control that Liverpool had, I felt, was lost. It was shared. So really, even though it was 2-0 down, once Liverpool scored that first goal, I thought they had the chance to go on and win this game, and they would have deserved it had they been able to keep control of the tempo of the game rather than it turning into, a cup tie.
Just on that save by Petrovic, be honest, if you'd made a save, as good as it was a great save, brilliant
fantastic save,
do you make sure that they know you've done it, even though it gives away a corner? Because so they didn't give anything for it.
No, well, I'll tell you what, he ran off to the supporters after the game, celebrated. I mean, he has to celebrate because it was his throw that led to the throws, which led to the winning goal. You don't mind not getting credited for the save. Interestingly, when it comes to the stats, I wonder what they'll put down as a stat, because there was a shot on target, but there was no save, technically, when it comes to the stats. But, you know, he did what he had to do today, and as I say, for Bournemouth, and it's a weird one, we all knew Liverpool to win, of course. But Liverpool didn't need to win to challenge for a title. It was to stay in those Champions League places, which currently they are, depending on what happens with the results tomorrow. But Bournemouth needed this win more than Liverpool. And you could tell by the celebration. I mean, the one thing before the game, it was like a rock concert in here. And at the end of the game, it was like a nightclub. So for Bournemouth, it's going to be a very happy 3 points. For Liverpool, it's going to be a very disappointing end to a game which I think they could have got away with a draw, possibly even one if they had a bit more control over it.
Yeah, big chances, big moments for both these teams, but it's Bournemouth who take the spoils. Frustrating day for the Reds down here on the South Coast.
Okay, thanks, lads. While we have been hearing from Mark Benstead and David James, Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
Yeah, frustrating, of course, because conceding a goal is always frustrating, but especially if there's no time left to come back into the game. But I think it's safe to say that they could have scored the 3-2 also a little bit earlier. What I mean with that, I think after we scored the 2-2, we were still trying. But I think it's safe to say that a few players of ours ran out of energy. And I cannot even criticize them for that, because 2 days ago we had to play an away game in Europe. We're the only team that played Champions League that has 2 days in between this time. After an away game, another away game against one of the most intense teams in the league, and I mainly, as you probably see, play the same players because of the players we have available. So then, what should not have happened is that you have to win it in the end, because that's then more difficult. And that's what you saw in the last 10 minutes. I think for the rest of the game, it was completely different. I think there we dominated the game.
Clearly, it was those 7 minutes where you give away those two goals sort of undermines everything.
Yeah.
You don't expect that from Van Dijk. These things seem to happen.
No, I don't think it's completely fair to Virgil to blame him for the first goal, because I think you could see throughout the game how much impact the wind had. Yeah. On certain balls, there was, I think, I don't exactly know, but in the end of the game, Virgil hit a long ball towards Mo, and I was expecting it to go to the goalkeeper, but all of a sudden it fell to Mo. So he wasn't the only one who had once in a while struggled with the wind. Your other question was?
Defensively, it was...
That was only the only 7 minutes. No, I agree with you, but that's not the first time this season that it's only been 7 minutes where... I wouldn't even say we were struggling, but where the other team was part of the game as well. And in those 7 minutes, we conceded two. Of course, the second one was when we were down to 10, because after the first goal, Joe Gomez had to go off with an injury. Wanted to try, thought he could, but then he couldn't. And maybe that sums up our season. It's every time something else. It's every time something special how we concede, but we concede. The only ones to blame is ourselves.
Hi, Anna. You mentioned that the tiredness creeping in. We've seen that in a few matches this season, and Bournemouth ran a bit more than Liverpool today. Just looking back a year ago, Liverpool had all their players fit. For this match in particular, everyone was fit, everyone was fresh. Do you think maybe that have you changed some of your training at all? That it means that the players are getting a bit more tired now at all? Or what explains the tiredness coming in?
Now, if Bournemouth had to run more than us, that is probably because we had 67% ball possession or something like that. So, but credits to them, that's definitely also one of their strengths. I think they're top in almost every statistic when it comes to running. That's why I think I have to credit my players. If you go 2-0 down the way we did, and again we showed the mentality and the fitness to come back into the game against one of the fittest teams in the league, because, and they only have to play once a week, of course, that helps. And that's not an excuse, because a club like Liverpool is used to playing three times a week, but we mainly do this with the same players, and maybe last season that was a bit different. Last season we did not have three long-term injuries as we have now. As you could see in our lineup, I decided not to play Hugo. That wasn't because I didn't like him or he wasn't good against Marseille. That's simply because I have only one number nine available for the upcoming weeks and months. He was out 2 weeks ago. I was with so many games to play, you have to manage his minutes. And I think for Jeremy Frimpong, it's safe to say the same. In the end, just before I took him off, in the first half, he was getting things, and after a half time, I think I could see the energy running out of him a little bit as well. So yeah, the end result is that you then play two players not in their favorite position with Ouattara and Dom. By the way, they did well, but it's the reality of this moment.
The goal that was conceded when there were 10 men on the pitch, there were 10 men on the pitch for Liverpool for quite a while.
Yeah.
And nobody put the ball out of play. Was that something that frustrated you? Is that just one of those things for you?
Nah. I tried to scream towards them to put the ball out of play, but actually we were quite comfortable. I think we kept the ball for quite a long time. And then when we lost it, it was the opposite. Bournemouth kept it, which is a bit easier maybe if you play against them. But even if you are down to 10, I think the way we conceded that goal was not specifically because we were down to 10 men. It's just... a winger that is surprising our fullback in a situation where we could have done better. But of course, maybe when we were 11, this player couldn't, the player that had the assist couldn't have gone as far as he could now. So yeah.
What's the injury, Joe Gomez?
Joe got a knock from Ali. His knee went into, I think, somewhere over here. I think it was bone on bone. So yeah, you could see he was just not able to continue, and Ali had quite some fluid in his knee, is that the way you say?
Swelling
in his knee. So So yeah, I don't know if Joe is going to train in 2 or 3 days. That's difficult for me to say, but it was clear that he couldn't go on today.
Yeah, I think a lot for the boss to think about on the journey home tonight, Sammy. What strikes me is he's had to give that quite a few times this season, yeah, in such similar circumstances. Yes, yeah. Too many circumstances, he would say himself, I'm sure.
Yeah, and to his credit, he always stands up. He always defends the play, which is right. But I think, as Errol said on the, we had the discussion before, a lot of it was down to game management, you know, and again, not in our DNA to kick balls out of play. But at the end of the day, it's part of the modern day game, and when we're down to 10 men and we've got a situation where we're in a very influential position, you know, I think we need to be wiser, you know, and I think you know and manage the game better, and it could have gone out of play, and we could have organised the substitution if that's what was needed earlier, rather than all the, because don't forget we just conceded from that as well. Mm. So their tails were up, the crowd were up. So I think the biggest thing that comes out for me again is, I said, yeah, we could have and should have managed the game better.
You could sense his frustration around the substitution, which you obviously raised before as well, Mills.
And the big thing, as Sammy mentioned there, is it just gave everyone a big lift inside the stadium. The momentum completely shifted. Mm. And all of a sudden, a team that were fragile and vulnerable, terrible run, they got a massive lift. And when you're down to 10 men, it is harder. As much as we had the ball at times, and Sammy mentioned it there, the game management, sometimes let's just regroup, make sure it doesn't get any worse than 1-0. But sadly, we didn't get a chance to regroup because the ball didn't go out of play, and the score got a lot worse and a lot harder for us then at 2-0. Now, when we got the goal back on the stroke of half time, I was thinking, if there's any team in the Premier League who can turn it round second half, it's Bournemouth, because it'll be open and you'll get chances. But we just were too wasteful in the end in that final third, and it became too open, and we could have won it, but we've ended up losing it late on, which is bitter blow.
When we had it in our possession, it should have gone out. So that's what we're talking about, the game manager. And then we could have organised the change quicker, and hopefully, with hindsight, it's a great thing now, we wouldn't have conceded the second goal.
OK, we've got the match stats for you here, so let's just take a look at what these tell us. Possession won't surprise you, 67% for Liverpool, which is fairly standard, at 14 shots for the Reds, but just 4 of them on target, Mels, which tells its own story.
Yeah, I mean, some people like possession. For me, I like big chances and an XG, and you can keep the ball for twice as much as Bournemouth, which we did do, but we've ended up having one big chance. They've had 6 big chances, Bournemouth. And to concede 6 big chances shows that that's too many. The XG suggests that they deserve the victory when you're looking at the quality of the chances that they had compared to what we had. But the big frustration is 14 shots, 4 on target. We were too wasteful, and that's what we mean with that. So 14 shots, we're not testing the goalkeeper enough. And to concede so many big chances, that's something we haven't done too often in this run that we've been on. So hopefully this is a one-off. But that was, I think you have to, if you're looking at the stats like that, you'd say we deserve to be beaten.
Yeah, 11 corners in there as well, Sam. Obviously, get a goal from one of them, but you felt at times that they could have made more. They've not been at a strong point this season.
Yeah, and I think the first 4 went right to the back post, if I'm not mistaken. The first one that we changed, it, which came from the left-hand side, was near post. We got the touch on, unstoppable. You know, the goalkeeper couldn't stop it. So, yeah, you know, and we go back to the possession back as well. We mentioned before, nowadays, possession doesn't win your games. It's been proven, possession doesn't win you game. What I do agree with on, and I share this frustration, 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. 4 minutes, you know, teams have given you, you know, I remember Newcastle was two seasons ago, time, you know, what they were doing with their time. I said, well, no problem, just put the allotted time on. And for us, you know, and whether we could have done some more, and I don't know, but timing is there. While there's minutes on the clock, we've still got a chance to score. So I do share this frustration on that.
The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now.
At your official LFC stores, online and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
OK, Mark Benstead has been working very hard to get some reaction from the Liverpool dressing room, and he has succeeded. Here he is with Wataru Endo.
Wataru, a frustrating end to the game. How do you reflect on what happened here this afternoon?
Of course, the result, we are disappointed, but
I think the second half was good because, yeah, after 2-0 down, I think we came back to the game and, we scored two. And I think in the last 10 minutes, I think both decided to score because we both, you know, had a chance to score. And then, yeah, last moment, they score, unfortunately, I think. But the way we come back was, I think, good, great. And we, showed about what's up. But, yeah, I'm just disappointed about it.
Did the game get a little bit too chaotic in that last 10 minutes because it was end-to-end, nobody had any control?
Yeah, but that's a game, you know. I think they play at home, so they also want to score, and we also, of course, want to win this game in our way. So, yeah, it's got a bit of chaos, but, we wanted this to score in the end, yeah.
Wet, windy, horrible conditions, long throw-ins coming into the box. Yeah. How difficult are those situations to defend, especially when it is the closing stages of the game and the pressure's on?
Yeah, we know it's going to be, you know, difficult game about the weather. And I think we defend well in the, you know, expect the last moment, I think. So, I think, yeah, after I came in, I think we defend okay, but yeah, unfortunately they scored, so yeah.
On a personal note, how was it for you to step in, and how ready are you to play again at the back if need be in the coming weeks?
I think it was a really difficult moment for me because, you know, Joy have got injured and they scored second one, and I think we have to go more offensively, so I need to take care about a lot of the team in the back. So yeah, I think. Yeah, a few moments I've done good, but until we score two, I think, as I said, my team performance is okay. But yeah, I think I wanted to win for the game. Yeah,
appreciate your time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good of him to come out and speak to us after a difficult afternoon down on the south coast. I mean, he will be pleased, Mel, to get some game time, obviously in difficult circumstances, of course, with Joe Gomez.
Yeah, and great to see that he's come out there and wanting to talk to us after a difficult result like that. He's had frustrations himself this season in terms of his game time, his injury that he had as well. I think his preferred position is in midfield, but obviously the needs must win. We are short defensively, and we were, and he comes on at 2-0 and he mentions that, and that's not ideal. He's chasing the game and maybe a little bit more open than what you would want when you're certainly playing out of position. He's a great pro. He's a great, looks like a great pro to have about the place. He'll play right back, centre back, centre. He'll do whatever you want him to do when called upon. And he may well be called upon in the coming games because we're a little bit short.
And that's why the fans love him. The fans love him because he play in any position. Even coming on there to do the interview, when everybody must be devastated with him in that dressing room, you know, he steps up to do it. That's why the fans love him. And as you so rightly say, he can play in a number of positions. His preferred position, obviously, is centre midfield, but he'll play right back, he'll play centre half for you, and he'll come out and do interviews when, you know, everyone is devastated. That's why we love him.
Yeah, credit to Endo for coming out and speak to us. You never know, he may well be involved midweek. The next game, of course, is Karabag, the final game of the Champions League phase, Mels. And Karabag, maybe not quite the team that everyone thought that they might be in the Champions League this season, because first time in the Champions League proper. They've had three wins so far and a draw as well, drew against Chelsea. So they come to Anfield with a lot to play for themselves as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of them, but when you look at where they are in the league phase, they've got a lot left to play for. You know, for them, what an achievement that would be to finish in the top 24. And there's teams that will be pushing them for that. So if they can get a draw, it could be costly for us. Because if you look at the teams chasing the top eight positions, and that's where we want to be, there's a lot of teams there. Looking at Barcelona, I'm looking at City, Atletico, Inter Milan. They're on 12, but there's a lot of teams there that have got winnable games to really put us under pressure. I mean, and you don't need it to be coming down to goal difference if we were to slip up. We're in a great position. I think we have to say that after seven games. A few really good results away at Inter, away at Marseille, has put us in a position. Final match day at Anfield, get a win, you guarantee top eight and avoid the playoff.
Can I be born as I always am to be? For me, it's not about Karabag, as it wasn't about Bournemouth, it's about Liverpool. You know, and I think, you know, we're all talking about how Bournemouth have won today because of our sloppiness and our game, lack of game management, and that's why we're all so frustrated. And we're talking about Carabao now, who you mentioned, you know, there's no mugs. So for me, once again, it's all about us.
OK, let's bring the fan panel in. I'll come to you, Errol. What do you want to see to kind of make you feel hopefully a little bit better at Anfield on Wednesday night than you do currently?
A routine 3-0 would do me, if I'm being honest with you, on Wednesday. Yeah, just easy. But you know what, just like the crowd getting behind the team, just getting them up for it. And as I say, I think the lads just know, going out there midweek, one last job to do for the, you know, the league phase of the Champions League. And, you know, as the gents have just said in the studio there, it is about Liverpool. Like, if we go out there and we're on our job and we do our job properly, you know, as good as Carabao have been in this competition so far by their standards, Liverpool should have far too much for them. And I think, you know, the fact that Hugo Ekitike got rested, I think that was kind of a sign to show that, yeah, we're going to need him fit and firing on Wednesday. You know, Jeremy Frimpong came off early, so again, he's another player. Kerkez was kind of, he was taken out of the firing line to an extent, so that was another opportunity for another player there again to have more fresh legs. I thought Rio was a great addition into the team today, and thought his impact was important, so hopefully that gives him a little bit of confidence. Again, with Taro Endo having a little bit of minutes in his legs now. So despite the fact that Liverpool are a little bit light in numbers, I think the squad that we've got and the 11 that he should be able to put out on Wednesday should have more than enough. And the incentives there, just go out there, take the game on, take the opportunity with both hands, and I do think Liverpool will be free of that knockout round in the Champions League, which I think at this point in our season, it's the grace that we need, really. I think we was very unlucky last season, you know, escaping the knockouts, but then drawing PSG. I hope that the draw's a little bit kinder to us. And I think, I think it was Mella that said it before, there's still so much to play for this season. There's still big competitions there that Liverpool, if they can get their act together and they can, you know, book up their ideas a little bit and just remember that they've got that spirit and remember what the mentality used to be like. It feels like it's been fragile for a number of weeks, but if we can just tap back into that memory of being mentality monsters, you know, I feel like I might be wishing for a lot at this moment in time after the last minute loss like that, but that's just the fan in me. I'm always going to be the optimist, so I just hope come Wednesday, yeah, we just kind of dust ourselves off, go again. And you know what, I've said it all season, the Champions League, that could be our competition this year. We might not have the needle to be able to navigate through the Prem, but the Champions League, there might just be something that just opens up and we just see our route to the final and think, you know what, lads, we can get there. So I'm holding out for that. That's what I'm hoping for. And I think the lads, if they can really turn up a midweek, then yeah, I think we'll sleep a lot better. I know the gentleman down there is in Dubai.
It's early hours in the morning
where he's ready for his bed. We want to sleep a little bit better come Wednesday night.
Errol, can I just agree with you as well? And you mentioned history, right? If I can go so far back to many, many decades ago, 81. You know, we end up fifth.
Oh, I wasn't born, Sam.
I know that, mate. I know that. But there was still football then, you know, Errol. Right? And we end up being fifth in the league. But we won the League Cup, which is the Carabao Cup now, and won the European Cup, which is the Champions League now, mate. So I know you weren't born then, but there were still books around that you can have a look at, mate. All right. So I agree. This can still be a big season for us, I'd say, because there's a lot of football to be played. Because you mentioned the history, okay? It's just my history is a lot. Look, longer than yours, if you like, you know what I mean?
It's a lot richer than mine.
Errol, thank you for that. I think we all feel a little bit more positive after listening to you there. Yeah. Molly, I'll come to yourself, because Errol's right. There have been many seasons that maybe haven't ended in league titles, which, of course, we all hoped that was going to be the case this season, but have still been incredibly memorable with other silverware. Obviously, this competition is the biggest of them all in that sense, and we hope that we could be there in Budapest come May. How hopeful do you feel about that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, call me crazy, but I feel extremely hopeful. I think when you've listened to some of the interviews our players have given, you can tell this is the Champions League is the trophy they're really hungry for this season. And so I think we've played our best football during Champions League matches. I feel, you know, really hopeful going into the game next week that we'll come out in a position in that top eight group of the Champions League. And I mean, I think Champions League and FA Cup give us a lot of opportunity this season. I also wanted to kind of briefly go back to something Sammy had mentioned with Endo coming on and being such a fan favorite, and just wanted to echo that sentiment. When he came on today, we were so excited, and then just talked about not only will he play in any position that's asked of him, but when you look at his kit on the pitch, like, he's covered in grass stains and dirt, and so he's going to be in any position. He's going to do whatever it takes for this team, and I think that makes him so special and such a standout. So I'm glad we got to see a little bit more from him today. It's been a while with injuries and such.
Totally agree with you, Molly Ann, and I think we're all looking for positives, whatever, and we have to take positives because the next game comes so quickly, and he is certainly one for me. And again, I repeat the fact that you can put him in any position and even put him in front of the camera to answer questions when it's a difficult time. So that's another positive for me to take away from that. And as I say, that's why Errol, wake up. That's why I mentioned 1981, because we do have a history on it and we can take solace, we can take positivity from that. It's because there is an awful lot of football still to be played.
OK, Craig, I don't know if you were around in 1981, but I do want to get your thoughts on the Champions League. Finally, a couple of minutes of the show to go, but how are you feeling about the competition as a whole? Because it's provided maybe a little bit of a respite, if you like, compared to some of the league form.
That's where all our hopes lie now. We all look forward to it. We've got a great team. So much firepower there. There's so much to play for. So you know, I think we'll have too much for Carabao on Wednesday night. So,
Okay, thank you very much. We are almost out of time, so a massive thanks to our Zoom panel. That is it from myself, Neil and Sammy, and David James and Mark Benstead down in the stadium, and a say our fan panel for their contributions. So a tough fold evening down on the South Coast. Frustration for the Reds, but we do go again on Wednesday. Let's get into that round of 16. That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back late on Wednesday evening, though, as we reflect on Liverpool taking on Carabag at Anfield in the final game in the league phase of this season's Champions League. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye for now.